Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to go around the Middle East with Jill Derby. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Chris Wicker, Liz McMenamin, and Bill Bilyeu. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. But instead of just keeping up, NV Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased always to welcome back to the program Jill Derby. Today, the topic is going to be the Middle East, of which you are quite the expert. This past weekend, it was fascinating to see two sides of a story. Yes. One, if you see the most obvious, is that John Kerry failed in his attempts to put a deal together with Iran. But in watching Fareed Zakaria on his very fine show on CNN, GPS, he and his guests said, no, they are closer to a deal than ever. They just need a little extra time, but this deal is going to happen. Your thoughts, is the deal going to happen?
I watched Fareed as well and was interested in those comments. Yes, I absolutely do think it's going to happen. And they have another meeting coming up in 10 days. I think the opportunity is there. I'm very pleased with it. And I think there's more to work out, but both sides seem to be positive about going forward in 10 days.
Why do you think Netanyahu is so adamantly opposed to it?
Well, it's interesting. What we don't know whether that's more posturing or whether that's a very serious position, because the Israeli intelligence community disagrees with Netanyahu and thinks that actually Iran is stepping down, and this new president and his election has signaled a very serious shift in Iran in a very favorable direction. So Netanyahu isn't necessarily representing the opinion of many in the leadership of political and intelligence community leadership in Israel.
The change in presidency with Rouhani is interesting, because really, as we all know, the presidents of Iran have really no power. It's the mullahs that are the ones that are in charge. Do you think that it's just really that the system in Iran is collapsing on itself because of the economy, because of the sanctions, and that, you know, because the population base is so young, that they are finally seeing a need to say enough we need to go forward.
I absolutely think that. And I think the fact that Rouhani was elected by such a strong majority, that the Supreme Leader looked at that and said, this is the way, this is where we need to go now. I mean, you know, Ahmadinejad was such a radical character in his speech anyway, speaking mostly for an internal audience, for an Iranian hardliner community that had the most of the power at the time. But I think things have shifted, and Rouhani represents that, and I think the Supreme Leader, in supporting him, recognizes that.
The British announced, as we're taping this this morning, that they're going to send a charge d'affaires over to there. That would be the highest level contact they've had. He won't be based in Iran, but will travel there on a regular basis. This is a big deal.
I heard that, and I think it's a sign of the thawing of relationships and the recognition of the West that we're better going forward and trying to craft a deal that works for us, that provides the kind of security that we feel we need in terms in face of their nuclear program. But I think the British move coming right after the weekend is significant. I think we'll see more of that.
And yeah, I was going to say, the rest of the European Union, certainly places like France, are going to be jumping on that bandwagon, mainly because there's a lot of money to be made.
Yes, I think so. And France's move was curious, why they put the kibosh on the proposal that all the rest of the West signed on to. And there's a lot of speculation about that. Was it really about significant content, or was they were trying to position themselves for some favorability with maybe Israel and Saudi Arabia, who are very, very worried about this deal?
And Saudi Arabia, it's such a strange mix, because you have the ruling family, and they try to present, you know, as best they can, an image that equates with the West, and yet the people that they have to deal with, their own people, the Wahhabis, which are probably one of the most dangerous sects of Islam.
Two things going on. You know, I used to live in Saudi Arabia, so I remember how nervous the government would get, the royal family would get, the king would get, when the Shiite community, which is certainly a minority in Saudi Arabia, rose up or shown any signs of unhappiness with the way things were going. But things have developed in such a way that I think the royal family is really in a hard place between the Wahhabis, which have a lot of power in Saudi Arabia, and a big protest they had, if you read about that, of nearly 600 people were arrested in a protest of foreign workers. I mean, they've got an interesting mix in Saudi Arabia that isn't holding together under their thumb as well as it used to.
Women driving in Saudi Arabia.
That's great. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, it's...
Doesn't it strike you as unbelievably bizarre in the year 2013 that we would even need to discuss this?
Well, no, not if you understand Saudi culture and the sense that the only way to keep women out of the workplace, fraternizing with men and risking romances that are unauthorized and don't happen inside of marriage, is to keep women carefully secluded and limited in their movement. So if you look at it inside the culture, the logic is there. It looks ridiculous to us. Women are driving all over the world. But there is a cultural logic to it if you understand the very, very conservative branch of Islam that flourishes in Saudi Arabia.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jill Derby when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Fortech LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with cultural anthropologist Jill Derby, former Nevada Democratic Party chair. As you look at Syria, boy, what a mess.
Syria's a mess, and it's very sad. You know, I was there 3 years ago, Sam, and I was with my son, and we stayed in Damascus, a thriving, very cosmopolitan city, very progressive and flourishing, and then drove around the country to some of these other places, Homs and Hama, that have suffered so much, and visited some of their wonderful antiquities that, of course, are out of the picture here. But how sad is this? I read recently an economist who was saying it would take 30 years for Syria to recover the kind of economy that they had before this all unraveled. It's hard to imagine how this is going to go forward, or whether or not Syria will survive as the state that it once was.
Do you see at some point an actual war between Saudi Arabia and Iran, or Israel and Iran?
I don't see that. I think that will be really avoided. It could be, we certainly would not support that. And I don't think Iran wants it. You know, it's an interesting thing. As much as we have demonized Iran, if you look at it, Iran.
And rightly so.
Yeah, fair enough about their nuclear program and about particularly the rhetoric that's come out of Ahmadinejad, but what's the source of terrorism in the Middle East?
Hang on,
it's really Saudi Arabia. I don't disagree, but
death to America is a pretty simple slogan that's been going on since Jimmy Carter's days in the White House.
What slogan is that?
Death to America?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, no, that's part of the rhetoric that's come out of Iran. But, you know, if you look underneath that, Sam, I don't know that that's the whole story. And when we look at who the villains are, they don't, in terms of what they've actually done, they don't equate with somebody like Saudi Arabia that's financed the Al-Qaeda for years and years and years. I think it's important to bring some balance to that conversation, particularly as we look to perhaps some sort of deal in mending fences with Iran and normalizing relations down the road. I think it's time to back off of some of that caricature we've created that they're the axis of evil was, I think, the original expression.
You know, but it takes two to tango.
Sure.
Fracking.
Fracking.
The oil fracking.
Yes, sure. No, I know what you're saying.
So the potential for oil independence in the United States.
Yes, yes, yes.
What does this do to the Middle East?
Well, I'll tell
and to
you what
OPEC?
What it does, I was part of a conference just a year ago, actually, in Kurdistan, a forum that talked about oil, and what's happening is the oil, it's shifting east. China has a tremendous appetite for oil. India has an appetite for oil. And so what's happening with the Middle East is not that their oil isn't going to be in demand, but the direction of its flow is really shifting. And with our independence, which is a great thing for us, they're not going to be lacking markets for their oil.
But as long as the oil lasts.
Yes, as long as it lasts.
Why do you think the Obama administration has not approved the Keystone Pipeline? I thought that they were going to approve that the minute the election was over.
Well, there are two sides to that, Sam, and I think that there's quite a lobby on the side of don't approve it, and some of the states through which it's coming have mixed reviews on it, have groups in there that say, no, look at the amount of spillage that happens. Look at the crises that happen around those pipelines and the damage it does environmentally. So I think that Obama's holding off on that.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because the same thing was said about oil from Alaska.
Yeah.
And Barbara Vukanovich went up there to see firsthand what was going on. And she said, you know, there was no spillage. The wild animals go up to the pipeline for the warmth that comes from the pipeline.
Okay.
And that nature and oil were coexisting very well. Is there not the other side of that story?
I think there is the other side, absolutely. But you look more recently at BP and the Gulf spill and the enormous amount of damage that that did. So that is those are the two sides of the stories. I think both maybe exaggerate their own claims, one on the side of it's absolutely safe and the other that's absolutely dangerous.
Do you not think that BP has done a good enough job of cleaning up the mess?
I think they've done a very good job.
Yeah, because I think the Gulf states have all been more than happy to take the money from BP and use it in advertising to say, you know, come visit us, you know, it's taken care of.
I think it's absolutely stepped up, but we're not sure that all the environmental damage has been mitigated. I mean, you know, what about
What happened in Alaska?
Sea life, I mean.
Right, but you know what happened in Alaska was that Mother Nature took care of it.
Yes.
By the time it was all done, you know, those seas were not gentle and they took care of it. Looking at Iraq and then Afghanistan, you know, now there are regrets that the Americans are gone. Do you see any scenario, because I don't, where the United States could go back in to police these areas?
I don't know who's regretting, Sam. I mean, when you look at Iraq, and I was there up in Kurdistan.
I think Dick Cheney.
A year ago. I think maybe Dick Cheney. But and talking to the former deputy prime minister of Iraq, who's Kurdish, former, and talking about when they decided, the group with the United States backing, decided that Maliki would be the best prime minister, they counted on him being inclusive and bringing in the Sunnis and bringing in the Kurds and which are the major ethnic groups there, and he has absolutely not done that. So in a way, Iraq is right now very unstable itself, and they have a very close relationship with Iran, which was an unintended consequence of our invasion, of course, but people who knew the area could have seen that, but there wasn't a lot of consultation in the invasion of Iraq. So I don't think that most of Iraq is really interested in having the U.S. come back. And remember, we wanted to stay, but couldn't negotiate a status of troops arrangement with Iraq that was satisfactory to us.
Okay, quick answer to this. Do you think in our lifetime we will see a country called Kurdistan?
I think it's a possibility. There are some groups in Kurdistan that don't want that, and that's particularly the Iraqi Kurds, which like their arrangement of semi-autonomous government. At the same time, they don't have to have all that an independent state requires. So,
or fighting a war with Turkey.
That's
right. Where we got to leave it. Thank you so much, Jill. Always a pleasure. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
I've been getting a lot of questions about short sales and buyback programs. These are extremely difficult situations and you need to know all the facts, so please call me for more information. And remember, our services are always free to homeowners.
Ashley Furniture Home Store's Veterans Day event has been extended. Take an additional 18% off store-wide or choose 60 months no-interest financing. Plus amazing specials like this bunk bed, $147. Or buy this sofa and love seat, get the recliner or three-piece table set free. We want to show our appreciation for the veterans who have sacrificed and served our country by extending additional savings with a valid military ID for a limited time at Ashley Furniture Home Store.
Dollar Loan Center, your trusted name in lending for 15 years, now has two great ways to serve you. Signature and title loans. We lend more for your vehicle and guarantee better rates with no credit checks. Or get a signature loan up to $2,500. No collateral required. Apply in-store or online at don'tbebroke.com.
Marshall Realty has been here for years, and we will never put you and your family in a bad situation. If you ever need any help, we're always here to assist you. Once again, thank you for making us your number one trusted resource.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Bill Bilyeu is here, the former Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. Liz McMenamin is Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. And Chris Wicker is spokesman for the Washoe Dems. Pleasure to have you all here. Well, as we tape this on the morning of the 13th, the big news, certainly in Washoe County, is that AB 46, the bill that was supposed to help with taxes for the school district, went down in flames. They only got one vote on the county commission in favor.
Did they actually vote, or did they just...
They decided not to do it.
Yeah, right. Well, it's no wonder that they kind of ducked on this one, because I kind of feel sorry for the county commission being put in that position to begin with. I don't think it is right or proper to have imposed upon them the obligation to fund the schools when they have absolutely no say-so, no input, no oversight, or anything else in terms of what how that money that they are required to impose upon the people as taxes is spent.
Okay, but, you know, if you were the superintendent of a district, what would your thoughts be today? Where do I go for my next job?
No. Where can we find the money, and how can we cope with like most people, unlike government, how do you cope with what you have? In other words, what we have this. So what is essential and what is not essential? Those are the questions.
A former trustee was on the radio this morning talking about how do you explain to parents and kids that you can't turn the heater on because there's a water leak, and if the water gets heated up, the kids will smell the mold.
Well, a lot of these issues, I agree with Bill on this one. They're going to have to look at ways to cut. Those type of projects are going to have to be put to the front and maybe considered as the most important due priorities. Something like that. Well, of course the children need heating. I hadn't heard that there was schools that weren't heating because of the mold in the building. I went to a high school that was 100 years old. So I have a hard time with this. I come from an area of country where we didn't implode and we didn't, start building new because something got old. You worked on it and you fixed it. So I don't know. I'm a little confused on how the priorities have been set then, that they wouldn't have heated.
One of the great disappointments to me is because I come from, a family that was raised in the Depression. I'm younger than that, but my family was raised in the Depression. So I like to hang on to things and fix things when they break, and have suits that are older than my granddaughter. but that doesn't work in the modern world. If your printer breaks down, you don't go out and buy new ink. You just buy a new printer because it's only a couple of bucks more expensive, and it's 10 times better.
Yeah, but buildings and HVAC systems and electrical systems are all repairable. If you maintain schools, you can do that and keep the 100-year-old school going. And as the superintendent, I think, commented that, well, now it's going to cost us all a lot more because the county commission shamefully dodged the responsibility it had. I don't care if it was fair or not that they got handed this responsibility. They had it within their hands to improve the schools in Washoe County, and all but Kitty Jung dodged that. And I think it was just political opportunism on their part that they said, well, I don't want to take this hard vote to increase taxes just a tiny bit to make sure that our schools stay in good repair, and it's going to cost us more money in the long run.
Liz, you want to respond?
But the voters had already made a decision on this, Chris, and I have a real hard time with that. They were doing actually moving forward with what the voters said when they said, no, we're not doing this. We don't want to add this. So I think that what the county commission did was exactly what they were told to. That was a mandate by the people that had voted on it before in Washington County.
They got all the information, and they saw the need, and they had the opportunity to keep our schools in good repair, and they dodged it. They didn't take that responsibility.
And you know, Chris, you obviously come from the position, obviously, well, more money will solve the problem. Well, if more money solves the problem, then the kids in Washington, D.C., ought to, because that's the highest per capita expenditure on students, ought to all be candidates for Harvard, MIT, and every place else. They aren't. They're totally failures. Money is not the solution.
Well, as you know, in Washington, D.C., there's a whole lot of other issues at play. But one thing I do know,
there are
money
same issues at play here.
Money can make buildings stay in good repair. That's one thing we do know, that money can keep buildings in good repair.
All right, so where do we go next? Do we leave this to the rollover bonds that are, you know, half a decade down the road?
There's obviously a vote of the people, and put the issue to the people. And Chris, you ought to like that. It's democracy in action.
Yeah. Well, is that the way to go?
Well, we all know how expensive it is to put something like that on, and both sides have to advertise. The school district can't advertise in favor of it, so they have to go out and beat the drums to raise money, you know, $1 million or $2, to just sell what was presented almost at no cost to the county commission.
Liz, your final thoughts on this?
Oh, well,
where do we go?
There is a cost to the county commission, Chris, bottom line, and there is a cost to the taxpayers, and I'm sorry, that's, again, they had spoken.
Okay, yes or no around the table. Was this about politics?
No.
No.
Chris?
Partially.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Are you considering a new Medicare plan? Then you may be looking for help in choosing the right plan for your needs. So don't wait. Call now. Whatever your health coverage needs, United Healthcare can help you find the right plan. Open enrollment to choose your Medicare coverage begins October 15th and ends December 7th. So now is the best time to review your options and enroll in a plan. Medicare has two main parts, Parts A and B, to help cover a lot of your expenses, like hospital care and doctor visits. But they still won't cover all your costs. Now's the time to learn about United Healthcare plans that may be right for you. Are you looking for something nice and easy? Like a single plan that combines Medicare Parts A and B with prescription drug coverage. A Medicare Advantage plan can give you doctor, hospital, and prescription drug coverage all in one plan for as low as a $0 monthly premium. Just one way United Healthcare could help you save while you take control of your own health. Plus, with the Pharmacy Saver program, you can get prescriptions for as low as $2 at thousands of pharmacies and retail locations like these all across the country. Call now to learn more. United Healthcare has the information you need, so you'll be better prepared when making Medicare decisions. Maybe you'd just like help paying for your prescriptions. Consider a Part D prescription drug plan. It may help reduce the cost of your prescription drugs. With over 30 years of Medicare experience, United Healthcare has been helping people live healthier lives. Remember, open enrollment ends December 7th. We can help. Call United Healthcare to learn about Medicare plans that may be right for you. Don't wait. Call now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. The next broadcast, Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler will be here. We'll talk about that school vote. We'll see you on the 12th.